I want God's way to be my way. I sight Jenny here below.
Shalom, saints, and welcome to Reflections in Faith. This is Brother Jason Zima welcoming you to the program. And with me is Pastor Piri. Welcome to the program, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Zima. God bless you.
Yes, today we have a very important topic, very important, and this is the topic on marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you see, the problem of marriage is not restricted to non-believers. Mm-hmm. There are believers who have been married. Well, others may have been married for a long time, but that does not guarantee true happiness and joy between them.
Right.
And so today we want to look at what takes away, what robs away this joy that you're supposed to enjoy, that God promised you in a marriage. Mm. How come you don't find it? Yeah, so let's start from there, Pastor.
Your observation is correct that marital problems seem to have the same face.
Yes.
Cutting across cultures, nations.
Mm.
Even cutting across religious groups. Mm. When I came to the faith, or let me say when I became a Christian, my heart was so filled with joy and I felt like heaven was on earth, and I expected that was the same with everyone. Mm. But the longer I stayed in this faith, the more I started seeing certain things I used to see and thought would only happen among unbelievers.
Mm.
I would see certain things in households of believers.
Yes.
Things like tension in a house over issues of finance, issues of disagreements, and in some terrible situations, issues of infidelity. Some believing couples have gone on separation. In terrible situations again, others have gone ahead to divorce. And some years back, I wrote a small book which I titled The Joy of Marriage. Why Some Marriages Work and Others Fail. That was the title. That is one book a lot of people have wanted to access. I remember one time being invited to speak on Radio Christian Voice, a very big Christian radio station, and I was being asked questions about the contents of the book and all that. And a certain bookshop had stocked the title, and we had taken a few copies there, and Brother Zima, within a week, all the copies ran out.
Oh my, okay.
And the time I walked out of the radio station, I can't remember if I was with you in that radio station.
We were together, yes.
Yeah, but the person interviewing was for Radio Christian Voice. If you remember well, the time I walked out of the radio station, my phone has never buzzed and rang like it did in all the years.
Of weeks, it went on for weeks.
It couldn't rest.
Yes.
And what broke my heart, Brother Nzima, was some people were calling, crying.
Yes.
Pastor, I am in problems. I am touched by the message you said. What can I do? Others were on phone call in tears. Brother, that made me realize this is one area which Satan has really made his headquarters.
Yes.
Some people are living in hell.
That's right. That is true.
Through their bond of marriage. But now, let us go into the topic. And if I was to call this, if I was to give it a title, I'll call it by the title of the same small book I was talking about, The Joy of Marriage, Why Some Marriages Work and Others Fail.
Mm.
And I need to begin by saying marriage is really like the construction of a house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you see a problem of a crack in the wall of a house, chances are the problem isn't in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is in the foundation.
That's right.
But well, like, there are places here in Lusaka, Brother Nzima, where maybe because of many challenges, people just want to build something very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But in building that something quickly, it is just postponing a bigger problem later on.
Mm.
Later on, such a house begins to develop big cracks.
Mm.
Now, you can try to throw plaster into that crack. You can try to put cement into that crack.
Yes.
But if the problem is in the foundation, that hasn't solved anything.
Mm.
You are just rescheduling a problem.
Mm.
And now, coming to the foundation, we want to go into the foundation because that is where the cracks are coming from.
Mm.
Do you know that the depth of a foundation tells how high a building will go?
Yes, that is.
If you look at rural places like where you are, Brother Nzima, make thatched houses.
Yes.
And what they call foundation is just... a few centimeters deep.
No, actually, Pastor, you'd be surprised.
Ah.
Do you know that their houses, they don't dig foundation?
Ah.
You just sweep a piece of ground, level it up, and you start. And they use, what's this? They compress dirt in a thing, yeah? Then they have a mold where they put dirt and compress.
Mm.
And we tried it. So I was trying to dig foundation. They said, no, we don't dig foundation for this one. Don't worry. Mm. You just start.
And they converted you.
Yeah. So you just start.
I understand. That's the village way of doing it.
Yeah.
But can I ask you something?
And
these houses you've seen. Yes, go ahead.
And sorry, Pastor. That same structure, what happened was, the first little shelter, that one, the thatched one, how we did it. So after a month and a half, when the rains came, it was all washed away.
There's no foundation. There's no depth to it.
There is no foundation.
And you see, when you see a group of young men working, and they are sweating, and you can see that, well, these are great men doing work.
Yes.
And maybe you see them just digging a very shallow foundation. You don't need to be a prophet to tell that this house, the roof won't be very high.
Yes, yes.
It will be a very short structure.
Yeah.
If I ask you a question, Brother Nzima.
Yes.
In this whole Chatama, where foundations are made in that stuff.
Yes, yes.
Have you ever seen a three-story building there?
No, never there. And Pastor, I've been sorry. This is quite funny.
Yeah.
Most of the places... I'm telling you, I was having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe this. When I would enter the house, I would either hit my head on the door. And it was so frustrating sometimes. I forgot. You know, sometimes you remember that when you're entering, you have to, bend a little bit.
Well,
but because they're very short, you can even touch the roof. And that's how it is.
Yeah,
very small.
There is a reason why these houses are very short. The height doesn't go very high.
Yes, yes.
It's because the foundation is shallow. And that is what we were talking about. You can tell how high a building will go.
Yes, yes.
By looking at how deep the foundation is.
Yes.
There was a time I was moving across this, what do you call this road in
Kalinga? Alikinkata Road.
Alikinkata Road. And there is this spot, this plot where these men were clearing up the space in preparation for some construction work. And I noticed it took over, I don't know whether that was 6 months, just for them to prepare the foundation.
No. The foundation took about 1.5 years, not months.
Wow. It took all that long.
Yes.
They were digging very deep.
Yes.
And you could see that even steel, iron was fed into that deep foundation. The moment I saw those works, I remember telling Nora, I told Nora that the building which is coming here is a very high building. It's not just a single story building. And well, later on, it was exactly the same, you know, as I predicted. And it didn't take any special knowledge or prophetic gift for you to be able to make such a prediction, because just by looking at the depth of a foundation, you know how high this thing is going to go.
Yes.
Now, similarly, marriage is like that. You can tell how far this marriage will go by looking at the priorities which are going into its foundation.
Yes.
Yeah. When you look at the way young people today get together to have a home, you see a lot of misplaced priorities. People go into marriage because they had a feeling of love for this girl. Now, here's a surprise for you. The foundation of marriage should be knowledge, not feelings of love. Now, I am not saying feelings of love are not important, but that comes secondarily. And that is because what sustains a marriage isn't feelings of love. It is knowledge.
Yes, that's right.
You see, if you're going to make a strong house, you're not just going to say, oh, I love how this house plan looks like, and I love to use cement, and then off you go. You start using cement, and you make a foundation in any way you feel like, simply because you love a house. Loving a house is one thing. Having the knowledge of how it needs to be built, it's quite another. Okay? One person, like the proverbial two houses which the Lord Jesus talked about a man who built on the rock and the man who built on the sand, both men loved to have a house. And one loved having a house so much that he bypassed all the important work which needs to be done.
Yes.
And he built a house on sand simply because the time he was building it, the weather was cool, the weather was good, there were no storms, and quickly up he spent his resources and there was the house. Another man, he also loved wanting to have a house, but he had knowledge about that. Knowledge about what? He knew that, well, today there are no winds, there are no boisterous winds, but he had knowledge that, well, this area, usually when a certain season comes, floods will pour out, strong winds. So he did not allow his emotion to go ahead of his knowledge. Much as he could be desperate that I need shelter, he took a step back to say, well, I need to build the foundation on the rock. Now, building a foundation on the rock requires a little more effort, a little more sweating, a little more resources you're going to spend. But remember, it's about what you are investing in the depth.
Yes.
And we have a saying here in Zambia, Brother Nzima, we say building a house is foundation and roof, because that is where a lot of money goes to. You compromise on these two things, you won't enjoy your stay in that shelter.
Yes.
Now, look at this. I mentioned to say that marriage is sustained or kept by knowledge, not by feelings of love. Feelings of love, they fluctuate. Today, you just feel this love. Tomorrow you could be busy and you won't even have the image of your wife in your mind. And, well, if one doesn't have knowledge, he'll think, well, his love is no longer there today. No, that's not the way it is. You are mistaking love for feelings of love.
Yes.
But now, we are saying marriage should be first built on knowledge, and let love build on top of knowledge. Now, what do we mean about that? Knowledge about what exactly? I want to talk, now, this is a big subject, Brother Nzima, but I'll narrow it down to knowledge about, number one, what marriage is. Number two, knowledge about the three stages of marriage. If you don't know the stages the journey of marriage goes through, hey, you're going to crash.
Yes.
You need to know your destination before you start off with your vehicle.
Yes.
And number three, you need to have knowledge about financial management. You know what surprises me, Brother Nzima, is before one proceeds to secondary school, he needs to write a primary examination.
Yes.
Why do they do that? It is to ensure that this candidate has the requisite knowledge to progress to another level, right?
Yes.
Before, again, you go into college or university, you have to be assessed and tested. And then, well, if the examining board are satisfied that you've passed, then you will be allowed to progress. Well, you may earn your degree, but before you start your work, there's an interview again. They want to make sure, although we are having a certificate, this person has submitted, we need to ensure that he has the required skills for the kind of role this person is going into. Before you are promoted in that job, there's going to be an interview again. Now, is it not surprising that our social institutions and society and whatever forms the fabric of human life, there are all these examinations, assessments, and all that. Yet, when it comes to the most important institution that this world has, an institution that brings forth life into this world, there's no examination. And in many places, even in many congregations, young people who are about to get married, they're never really sat down in a serious way for them to be taught what kind of things they need to expect in marriage. Now, in our local assembly here, Brother Nzima, as you know, we have a policy. Before one gets married, they go through a very short course where we teach about different things that this couple needs to be aware of. And sometimes people have felt we really take this very far in the kind of counseling sessions we have. We teach about financial management. We teach about social skills. We teach about all these kind of things. I don't know how many other fellowships do such a thing, but hey, I find that very important.
Yes.
To talk to young people before they get in marriage, they need to have a certain kind of an intelligence that they won't teach you in school. They need to have emotional intelligence and all that. And this gap in knowledge makes a lot of young couples get into marriage without proper preparation. Okay? Now, enough of that. Let's talk about these three aspects of knowledge that I feel are important. And the lack of this knowledge makes it steals joy away from marriage. Now, what is marriage? That's the first thing we're looking at. I need to mention that when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse... let us go to Genesis. Now, I want to be quick on this because there's so much to speak on this subject, and I don't want to prolong the topic because I don't want to lose anyone's attention. So let us read Genesis chapter 2. Verse 24. You can read that, Brother Nzima.
Okay. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Thank you. Now, marriage, from what we have read, it talks about cleave, right?
Yes.
Now, there's more into this union than just two bodies coming together in sexual union. There are other things that come together when people get married. There are two histories which will crash into each other.
Yes.
Forming a fusion, not just a bonding, but a fusion. You see, Brother Nzima, if I take two pieces of wood, I can join them and put glue on the point of contact. Now, what glue will do, it will just form a bond.
Yes.
Which can easily break, by the way.
Yes.
If you apply enough pressure or heat, the two pieces can simply pull away from each other. Unfortunately, that is how many people's marriages are. It's two pieces which have been bonded together using glue.
Yes.
It's two people, but they still maintain their individualities. And one can't tolerate certain aspects of the other. But that's not what makes marriage. Marriage is a fusion. Two different materials blending and fusing.
Yes.
To such an extent that if you held that piece in your hands, even if you were to break it, you would have broken both things, because each thing is into the other thing. It's all mixed up.
Yes.
Now, the thing is, you need to know that marriage is a fusion of two histories together. This person had a different background. You are coming from a different background. And you're going to reach a point where there are certain things which you may not have been accustomed to. And a part of you has to die. A part of the other person has to die to form a new person altogether. Now, I won't spend so much time on that. I'll spend more time on the second thing I mentioned, that you need to have knowledge about the three stages of marriage. Marriage is a journey, and this journey has three junctions. Now, stage number one in marriage. Now, and I need to say that different experts have spoken about these stages. Others list them as five stages. Others list them as six stages. But I list them as three stages. I think it is much easier for our comprehension. There are three main junctions in marriage life. And now listen to me. Whether you are a great man of God, anointed, you could be so highly gifted in prophecy or whatever it is, it doesn't matter who you are.
Yes.
You will go through these three stages in your marital journey. Number one, the romantic love stage. Oh, this is full of romance, Brother Nzima.
Yes.
You see your partner as a perfect angel.
Yes.
Even when your wife just cooks terrible, it tastes good in your mouth because you just love her.
Yes.
You know, it's the romantic stage. Whether there's something they've done not really very right, well, you are just so immersed in love.
Yes.
The romantic love stage. You feel you have the perfect husband or wife in the world. You know, you adore each other. That's a very beautiful thing.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. And now, I don't know how long that stage will take. Hey, others, it can take long, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I don't know how long it can take. Marriages are unique.
Yes.
But I also know that others, it can take months.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of some marriages in Hollywood which break after a few weeks. Well, the romantic love stage, right?
Yes.
Things are beautiful and wonderful. And even as a believer, you go through this. Well, you just adore your wife. You want to spend time together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when your husband leaves for work and you go, you text each other, oh, I miss you. I can't live without you.
Mm.
Even the vow which says, till death do you part.
Yes.
It no longer sounds appropriate. You want to say, till rapture.
Yeah.
You know, till the rapture takes us up.
Yeah.
You know, because you are so very much in love.
Yes.
And it is my hope and prayer that we all go through that stage. It's important. It has its purpose.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Do you know that in the Old Testament, Brother Nzima, when you are newly married, they won't even allow you to participate in war or anything.
Okay.
They want you to fully enjoy the romantic love stage.
Mm.
I guess, you won't concentrate very well on the battlefield. Well, that's a joke.
Yeah.
But they respected that. They gave you time to enjoy your romance, to just focus on that, okay? But gradually, your marriage is going to move on to another stage, which I call the tension stage.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that from the romantic love stage, people go to the tension stage? Now, remember, I don't know whether your romantic love stage is going to take a few months, or it may go up to 7 years. But there's going to come a time where some tension begins to rise. You don't like certain habits you've observed in your friend. At this point, there's no pretense. Your real characteristics and behaviors are on display.
Yes.
And these aspects of this can happen even a few months into marriage, where, well, the time when you first got married, he never used to snore. Maybe he had enough energy to pretend away from that, but later on he is himself and you just hate it when you hear that terrible sound.
Yeah.
I know there could be bigger problems than that.
Yeah.
But the point here is seven things begin to happen which bring tension. Maybe the man begins to dislike the way this woman spends money. Previously, that could have been there. But the romantic stage overshadowed that. But now you have all these little things which are building tension. I don't like the way you iron my shirt. I don't like the way you cooked. And a little thing like that blows up into a very hot argument. I don't like the way you talked to me. Or you are becoming less romantic. You don't give me attention. And well, for a moment, people stop talking to each other. Later on again, episodes of romantic love flash and you enjoy this episode. You are back again arguing about how the money was spent and one doesn't even want the other. If the other one is in the sitting room, let me be in the bedroom. You know, episodes like that. Now, let me say this. How you handle this stage will determine how far your marriage will go. Others will consolidate this into resistance where they just feel, I can't put up with this person. I didn't know that's how they are. I'm not enjoying their company. Others will simply want to be what they are and resist this personality which they feel isn't the thing I married.
Mm.
It's actually an illusion.
Yes.
And during the tension stage, one may resist what's happening and feel I deserve better. I think this is not the person who was meant for me.
Mm.
How you handle tension at this stage will determine the next stop for your marriage. Now, there are two possible stops.
Mm.
The resistance stage, where you resist whatever is happening and you feel the other person is just wrong. Mm. They're disappointing you. You have what people call irreconcilable differences.
Mm.
You know, you hear that such terms,
yes, yes.
Irreconcilable differences. Mm. Now, the next stop could be resisting what's happening and you feel now, I think, I'm no longer in love with this person.
Mm.
That is one possible stop. Another possible stop, or where this tension stage could lead you up to, is the acceptance stage, where a new character begins to form in you, a character of patience, a character of trying to learn yourself better. Do you know, Brother Nzima, that there are certain aspects of one's character which can be buried deep in their hearts and they never knew they have such a character, but marriage has enough pressure to bring out the remotest behavior and trait that is in you.
That is true.
Marriage brings to the fore your remotest weakness. You are tempted to the extreme limits. And the acceptance stage, these are people who, when they see that, oh, I reacted a certain way. I didn't know I can react like that. They begin to learn from what is happening. When they look at their friend, they become aware of what is going on to say, no. I love this person. Yeah, we are having differences. But I guess when I do this, no matter how it seems right to me and I love it, but I think it doesn't go well with my friend. So let me die here for the sake of me continuing with the joy with my friend. Now, again, it depends on what thing is bringing up tension. If it is issues of finances, there are no easy answers here. Like, if it is this which happens, you need to do this and that.
Yes.
There are no such things in marriage. You need to be prayerful. You need to pray for wisdom of how God is going to help you to handle the tension stage. Like I said, this happens to everyone who wants to go into marriage. Now, Brother Nzima, I have seen the calmest people you could ever see in this world.
Yeah.
I have seen people who speak the softest way. But yet their marriage ended up in divorce.
Oh, yes, that is true.
You say, oh, but that was a perfect person.
Yes.
What happened? It all depends on how are you handling the tension stage. Are you going to resist what's happening? Or you're going to say, Lord, open my eyes and teach me. How am I supposed to behave to accommodate my friend? And it becomes easier if both of you are spiritual.
Yes.
But that does not mean because you are spiritual, you handle everything like angels. No, you are in human bodies with real hormones. But the thing is, how you handle the tension will determine whether you will graduate to the next stage.
Yes.
Now, there are situations where during the tension stage, maybe the woman says, you know, before we got married, when we were courting, you used to buy me ice cream. But you no longer do that. You don't give me attention. You don't buy me this and that. And then the man feels like, oh, so this woman can't see I am paying rent now.
Mm.
I'm paying food for a whole bigger family. And and as he digests all those things, he responds with anger because he is disappointed to say, is this what she can say? She doesn't see what I am doing. Now, what you need to know is that this is not a game of who is right and who is wrong. Both of you parties, there are certain things which each party is genuinely observing.
Yes.
And that needs to be interpreted in a right way. And a man has the responsibility to interpret that in the right way. Because your wife is really your, like, your firstborn daughter. Now, scripture tells us there are weaker verses.
Yes, yes.
And I'll read that scripture later on because there's something I want us to talk about. That is not to say, oh, she's a weaker vessel, so whatever she says, you know, is illogical. No, 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 no. Have a listening ear. There is truth in what she says. And you don't have to enforce your logical analysis of what you're observing. You need to take a step back and think, what am I supposed to do here? What is at play? Because as you move on in marriage, responsibilities grow bigger, but that should never be an excuse for you to neglect her, because the same scriptures admonishes you to love and cherish your wife. But here it is. During the tension stage, you need to develop knowledge about what's going on, what is causing this. I've always given an example of how at one time, both myself and my wife used to work, and both of us would knock off from work. I would be tired, go in the living room, put my legs on the table and read a newspaper. But for her, she would go to the kitchen and begin to cook. That started stressing her. And I observed that the first joy she used to have was no longer there. The first bright face she used to have was no longer there. I realized that my friend is getting very stressed. And when I would talk to her, maybe greet her in a romantic way, yeah, she would answer back respectfully, but there was that sparkle which was no longer there. Nora calls it the sparkle, which was no longer there. And I started thinking, well, what could be causing this? I could have handled that in different ways. I could have said, she no longer loves me. I think she's no longer interested in me. And believe me, you, there are marriages which have taken that path. You know, she always looks tired. But I took a step back and I thought, what could be causing this? I started interpreting the situation and I thought, no, this is not fair to my friend. I think she gets very tired. So I thought, okay, I think we're going to engage someone to start helping around with certain chores around. And by the way, Brother Zima, on top of that, being a pastor, you know, that's another load of work.
Yes.
So we engaged someone to be helping her with chores, and guess what? That face I was missing came back again. What does this mean? The moment when she lost a certain joy and expression, does it mean her love for me had decreased?
No.
There was no decrease in love, but there is an external circumstance and situation which is robbing her of certain energy, certain happiness because of stress, because she's in a physical body which gets stressed up with work. And there are men who don't interpret that. But you know, when you analyze a situation, you will have knowledge about why problem A has occurred and why problem A is leading to problem B. You know what has happened? There is knowledge. You know that, huh? When such and such a thing happens, I think it's not good and healthy for the both of us. Now, this is the acceptance stage. And how does it come about? Through knowledge.
Yes.
And now, if you get to the acceptance stage and you have knowledge, you will be able to graduate to the third stage. And I call it the knowledge love stage, where you go back to romance, but this romance is at a higher level because it is based on knowledge.
Yes.
When you look at her, what attracts you is not just her beauty, but the knowledge you have about her,
yes,
being someone you cherish. Mm. It is a love based on knowledge. Mm. It's at that point that because you've reached the acceptance stage based on knowledge, you actually get to realize how loving this person is.
Yes.
Even when they are sad, it's not because they hate you, but you've known each other's hearts and you know what is leading your friend maybe to behave a certain way. And regardless of all that, you are able to separate these circumstances from your love for each other. Mm. So you are loving that person based on knowledge. Knowledge to know that God gave her to me for her to be cherished, and she needs to be taken care of in this way and that way. Even herself knows something about you. You know, Brother Nzima, stronger love,
yes,
is one which prevails despite certain dislikes you that may have about a person. That's a stronger love.
That is right. That's right.
A love which only wants to love because everything about that thing, you like it and you don't want it to disappoint you in any way. That's a feeling of love. And it will get thrown away when something doesn't do something contrary to your expectation. You know that, you know, the time we were building this structure,
yeah,
I would notice that on certain critical points, they would not just put cement. They would put some wire mesh.
Yes.
They would put some material or some metal rods. And you know the purpose of that? They say it makes it stronger. Now, you need those little differences. And don't be afraid of them. If something has happened which requires the both of you to sit down and say, you know what, I'm offended when you do things like that. Don't run away from that.
Yes.
Those are cement, wire mesh. You don't ignore those things. They are the things which consolidate your marriage.
Yes.
When you see something that makes you upset, you don't just say, anyway, let me get over it. Where you have an opportunity, talk about it so that you learn more about each other in a respectful, loving way. Well, and sometimes you may not hide it, that you're upset. But all those things are important ingredients.
Yes.
It's like you're making a block for building a house. They'll throw in some gravel stones in there. They'll throw in some cement. And if you're going to put a ring beam at a certain point, they'll put metal rods.
Yes.
And that will strengthen the structure. And when love graduates to the knowledge love stage, the beauty you perceive on your wife, it's at a higher level. It's not just the beauty of looks. It's the beauty of, you know, the person behind that beauty.
Yes, yes.
You know what makes her happy. You know what makes her sad.
Yes.
And once you reach this stage, today you may disagree or argue on something. Tomorrow you still be lovebirds.
Yes.
You'll be able to separate things that both of you may dislike, but you are still knowledgeable to know that I still love this person. You've reached a point where there is nothing that can separate you from that person simply because you have fused.
That's right.
Look, I may have an argument with my sister or my brother or my mother or my father.
Yes.
But there can never be an argument or anything that can happen that would sever our ties because I have the blood of my father in me.
That's right.
Why? Your bond is unbreakable because you are one. You are family by blood. And marriage can reach that stage, the knowledge love stage. And once marriage reaches this stage, those are marriages which stay together forever.
Yes.
Why? They can't live without each other. So marriage is not about feelings of love, infatuation, feelings. Those come and go. Unfortunately, as I conclude, there are people who've gone into marriage because of the first stage, the romantic love stage. And what happens is, as tension begins to build, they feel like, no, I think this person is not meant for me. And what worldly people do, they'll even start looking for another woman. You know what you've just done when you do that? It's like you are in a course in a school. You've moved from grade one, grade two, grade three. You feel grade three is no good. I think let me go back to grade two. You are not progressing.
No.
You are taking yourself back. Yes. Even if you were to marry 30 women,
yes,
each woman you marry, you are taking yourself back, repeating. You go through the same things you went through with your first wife, perhaps worse. Why? Instead of persevering to learn through your curve over your relationship and your personalities, each challenge should present a new opportunity for your growth into a higher form of love instead of going backwards.
Yes.
So, when you have knowledge about the stages of marriage, you know that, okay, I think what we are going through is this and that stage. But I handle the tension stage very well, because if you take the other route of resistance, always remember that you put a scar on your life that nothing will ever erase it. Well, Brother Nzima, there is the financial management stage, and we don't have time to go into that. The Lord willing, well, we may create, we may talk about this in the next broadcast, but yes, there is another topic coming that I would really want us to talk about, you know, before you go back to Chatama. And I quote elixirs of spiritual death, and I would want us to talk about that, but we'll see if time will allow. We'll talk about the issue of financial management. I don't know what you'd want to give as your closing remarks.
I think looking at time, not much. Yeah, I'll just say, for me, I think the starting point would be, I think, on yourself. No matter how rocky your marriage is, no matter how it seems impossible, start with yourself. No matter how innocent you may think you are, or you may be innocent about maybe a difference, live as a single person, meaning forget about everything else and take yourself to the Lord.
Yeah.
Once you soak yourself in Him, just don't worry about anything. Soak yourself in Him, tell Him the truth, tell Him how you're feeling, and wait on Him. He will give you, He will open your eyes to see what's not there.
Yeah.
And that way, because He's opened your eyes, you'll be able to see where the stone is. You'll be able to see where the thorn is.
Right.
You'll be able to see where the tree stump is. And as a result, you will start maneuvering. And the other person, you give him an opportunity to follow through where you're passing. That basically, for me, I would say, that is what is critical. So prayer and dedication,
yes,
and marriage are like two faces of a coin. You can't separate them.
And you know, there is one verse I forgot to read about the third stage.
Yes.
The third stage. And that is love based on knowledge. Let me read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
Yes.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge.
That's right.
Not according to feelings of love.
No, no, no. Knowledge.
According to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Yes.
Now, there's something important towards the end there. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. The wife you are married to, don't just look at her as your wife, she's also your sister in Christ.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And together you should be heirs, you know, of the grace of life. See yourselves as being on a journey which will go beyond this earth into the presence of God later on. So imagine the way you relate with your wife or the way your wife relates to your husband. Remember, apart from him being your husband, he's your brother in Christ.
Yes, yes.
So do the right thing. Now, I would want in the other session to talk about the issue of financial management. And in talking about that issue, I'll speak about the three strands that are important to consolidate a marriage. There is the social strand, there's a spiritual strand, and there's the financial management strand. And we'll talk more about that. I think let's talk about it so that we complete the whole series in the next broadcast.
Amen. To be my way.